Well, tonight my job is to sort of pull together some of the themes of our program tonight, as those are captured in the passages that were chosen by Handel in his work on the Messiah. And tonight I want to just focus then on part of what was referred to both in song and in some of the scripture readings from Isaiah chapter 9. So you can turn to Isaiah 9 in your Bibles and just have those in front of you a moment. And Isaiah 9, I want to look at verse 2, and I want to look at verse 6, just one line out of verse 7. But I want to look at 2 and 6 primarily. And I'm just going to read those with you now and listen to God's Word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of this government and peace, his government and peace, there will be no end. I'll leave it right there. May God bless the reading of his word to us tonight. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that Handel well captured as he was seeking to set forth in song and use the scriptures was the theme running throughout the whole Old Testament of a warfare. There isn't peace, there's darkness. There isn't peace, there's misery, there's hopelessness, there's fear, there's darkness, darkness, darkness. You see this over and over and over in the Old Testament. And what do the people want? What do the people need? What do the people walking in darkness need? They need a light. They need someone who will drive out this darkness, because the darkness keeps driving and driving and driving into people and driving into this world and seeking to cover the world. And so, where do you turn to for help? And what you need, as Isaiah says, you need a comforter. You need somebody to comfort, because there's a lot of mourning and brokenness and sorrow. You need glory. You need something that will fill this world with glory, the glory of God. You need to know God. You need to know God in a greater way than you've ever known Him before. You need a mighty, powerful God, as Isaiah writes. Somebody to conquer enemies that are otherwise destroying you. Somebody who would come, though, as a baby. A virgin will conceive, give birth to a son. But this child is going to be a special child. This child is going to be God Himself. You see, if God does not come in human flesh and live in our world and fulfill all things necessary for our salvation, if God doesn't do that in flesh, in our human flesh, then there will be no salvation. There will be no turning back the darkness. You need a Savior, as is talked about in the different passages we read. A Savior, in this case, is someone who is a rescuer, like a hero in a battle. Someone who comes in and rescues people and puts them in a safe place. You need a shepherd. But this shepherd is not going to be a shepherd of sheep. He's going to be a shepherd of people. But he's going to give people rest. He's going to give people peace. He's going to give people a place of safety. He's going to give them provisions. He's going to give them help in the face of great strife and struggles and pain. And one of the other themes that Isaiah captured is light. You need somebody who will come, who's not just going to be holding a lamp in his hand, but you need someone who himself is light. Light that dispels darkness, drives it away. Why? Because there is this enemy. And that's what you've got to understand about what it means that Messiah comes. You've got an enemy. We've got an enemy, and the enemy is darkness. And so, what this Messiah is going to be is someone who's specifically going to be dealing with the one main problem that human beings have and that is that we're in darkness. It's everywhere. Darkness is everywhere, and all people are in that darkness. And you can't get out of it. That's the problem. You kids, I wonder if I were to ask you that question, how many of you like darkness? You like darkness? No, there's something about darkness that bothers. It's kind of creepy, right? Darkness is a place where you can't see. And if your mom asks you to take out the garbage at night, oh, that's the worst, because there's darkness out there, and evil lurks there in shadows, and bad things happen in darkness. Isaiah talks here about a people who walk in darkness. They lived in it. They're stuck in it. It's their way of life. They're in darkness. They're without hope. They're in misery. They're in pain. They're in sorrow. They're sin. Sin is darkness. So these people have no freedom. They have no peace. They feel lost. They feel abandoned. They feel death threatening them. They can smell the stink of hell. So they're in fear. They're afraid. They're lost. Imagine you're walking, you find yourself in a forest. Thick forest after dark. It's night. Night comes on. There's no great bright moon like we're experiencing right now. It's just absolutely pitch black in this forest, and you're walking through it, and you can't see the path anymore. And eventually you lose the path, and you find yourself off of it, and it's dark, and you can't find your way back to the path. Now, that'd be a scary thing, wouldn't it be, to be off of that path, and you're lost in the forest. You can't find your way out. That's what life is like apart from God, the Bible says. What human beings are like apart from God is we're lost and we can't find our way. But what happens if you were to just in this forest, stop a minute, stop for a few hours, just sit down? It's still creepy, but at least you know what's coming? Sun. And when the sun comes up, does light start hitting the forest? And you can begin to see the path finally. But you can't see it without this light. And that's the picture that Isaiah shows us about what it's going to be like when a rescuer comes to get us out of the darkness. Isaiah tells us that there's going to be light coming into this world where people walk in darkness. This is really good news. This is what we mean when we speak of gospel, good news. Now, there's one more thing I want to point out before we go on about this idea of darkness and light. You know, most of you kids know something about Star Wars, right? Star Wars. Well, what's in Star Wars? What's the big character in Star Wars is the Force. And the Force is dark. But the Force is good. But in Star Wars, the good and the dark are equally strong. They're equally strong. One isn't greater than the other. The Bible tells us that's what the world's like. In the world, God created the darkness. God owns the darkness. The Bible tells us God created the darkness, in fact. God created the light. It's all His. God's not afraid of darkness. But God also can do something about darkness. And so, the only person who can help people in darkness, the only person who can lead you out of darkness, in the Bible tells us, is God. And that's who the whole Testament is promising, that God's going to send someone who can lead us out of that darkness, free us from that darkness. Now, how is He going to do that? How is He going to get us out of that darkness? He's going to send light. He's going to send light. That's what it says. And it's going to start with a child. A child is going to be born. We know that. The child's born in a manger, right? But He's also going to be a ruler. The government is going to be on His shoulder. He's going to rule the world with power. Now, Isaiah speaks of this light child in our passage here, and he uses four names to describe, or five names to describe the characteristics of this light child. So great is this light that's coming into the world that it takes at least four or five different characteristics to describe what He's going to do to flood the world in light, to beat back the enemy of darkness and destroy it. And it's wonderful. He's wonderful. Now that seems like a weird name. Somebody who's called Wonderful. But the idea is, in the Bible, when you encounter God, that experience is wonderful. It's awesome. It fills people with awe. It's compelling and so amazing that people are blown away by it. They bow in front of it. They come to their knees in front of the wonder. See, that's what the Bible speaks of. It says, Isaiah even tells us that the angels, remember in Isaiah 6? The angels that are constantly in the presence of God, the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." They're in awe. This is a wonder beyond the ability to fully express. And so we just, Isaiah says, His name is wonder. He's like that. He's glory. He's God. And He drives away darkness. Like the sun drives away the darkness in that forest we talked about. This is who the Messiah is. He's wonder. He's wonderful. But He's also a counselor, the passage says. And a counselor, you know, people need counselors all the time. We go to counselors for financial advice. We go to counselors if you're in school and you need your counselor to help you know which courses to get through so you don't waste your time in school, right? You need a counselor maybe to help you become more fit. You need a counselor to help you with some kind of a psychological problem or some kind of a trouble you're working through. And all those things are fine, but the Bible says we need a counselor that is wise and wise enough to lead us out of darkness. This is not the wisdom of man. This is the wisdom of God. And this is the wisdom of one who is full of grace and truth. This is Jesus, John tells us. Jesus came and He's full of grace and truth. He's the Word and He's made flesh. So it's a Word. He's a speaker. He can speak and He can talk and He can speak comfort into people's hard and miserable situations. He speaks to them. This powerful one comes not, first of all, to smack people upside the head. This one comes to speak to you. And He comes to speak comfort to His people. You see, this is our basic problem, isn't it? That we're in spiritual darkness, so we need spiritual light. So what we need is someone who can give light to why we're in pain and why we're in sin and why we're in misery. Somebody who can shed light on that. Somebody can show you what the problem is. Somebody can talk to you in your depression and in your fear and in your sorrow and lead you out of death and lead you out of the thing that's leading you to death. And lead you out of hell. You need someone who can show you the way to everlasting life. And that's what this counselor does. This counselor sheds the light of truth on things, and He could show you out of darkness. He could show you God, because that's what we need. He could show you the great God. The great God is a Savior who will comfort people in darkness. So He's a wonderful counselor. He's also a mighty God. And that word mighty in this passage is a word used for heroes. Battle heroes. So think about this. A hero is one who comes in and he rescues people just at the right time. They're in trouble, they're about to be overcome, and here comes the hero, and he comes in. He's like Superman or Batman in the movies or something. You get the idea. It's a hero, not just an ordinary person, but an extraordinary person who comes in to rescue. He overcomes enemies. He destroys enemies. See, that's exactly what you and I need. Because why? We lack power. Our problem is in darkness, we lack power. We lack the power to fight off our enemies. We lack the power to free ourselves from a bondage that we're in. That thing that holds on to us and won't let go, that we can't get rid of. He's able to do that. We need someone who gives us power to love God. Because we don't love God. We have darkness in our hearts. We need somebody who help us to love God. Someone who can free us from spiritual bondage and who can give us power to trust God and love God. So what does light do to darkness? When light shines, light drives out darkness. It drives it away. It fills up every corner of a room so that it's light. It sets free. And that's what this mighty hero God does. He overcomes the world. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I overcame the powers of the world of darkness." If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You really will be free through this light, mighty God. But there's more. He goes on to talk about more names because you need more. You need this wonder. You need this counselor. You need this mighty God. But you're also homeless. You know what homeless are. You've been around. You see the homeless people walking around the streets in Minneapolis and other places. And you've seen the homeless. We're homeless. We're spiritual orphans. We don't have a home. We don't have a father. We need a home. We need a father. We need to know that we're loved. And so the passage says that light, the person who is light, will be an everlasting father. Father is what Jesus is described what the Messiah would be. He would come and he would, with gentleness and with care, he would love you. He would have concern for you. He would take care of you and your needs. He would be a father to you in that sense. And why do you need a father? Why do you need, why are you homeless spiritually? It's because of sin, isn't it? Sin separated us from God. Sin put us in the darkness. We were created, think about this, we were created to live in God's family. We were created to live in God's home. That's what the Garden of Eden was. It was a home. It was a place where Adam and Eve can live. And where they were at home with God, and they could walk with God, and they could know God, and it was their dwelling place. But what happened with sin is they were separated from God, and they were driven out of this home. The Bible tells us that as sinners, we're children of wrath. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Jews around him in that day, he says, "You're of your father, the devil," who wants the devil for his father. But he says, that's what it was like when you're in darkness. But then Jesus said this. He said, to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. Children of God. You want to be a child of God? Well, Jesus says, I'm your everlasting father. I will not leave you orphans, Jesus said. As he's about ready to leave the world, he said to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. Not only that, but you're never going to attend this father's funeral because Jesus is life. He's never going to die. And when Jesus left this world, he says, you know what? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. In my father's house are many mansions. In my father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare your room because you're going to live forever in my house with me. You're not going to be homeless anymore, and you're not going to be fatherless ever again. I'm an everlasting father. And Jesus brings this kind and gentle care of a father. And even if you never experience the kind, loving, gentle care of a father in your earthly father, Jesus is one who will be an earthly father to you like this. And then the other final name that is spoken of here is Prince of Peace. You need a counselor. You need a mighty God. You need an everlasting father, but you need a Prince of Peace because you live in a world that's not peaceful. You live in a situation where you're not at peace. People who are walking in darkness are living in anger and hatred and fighting, and there's warfare and there's brokenness. And you watch Syria and what's going on in those cities in Syria and how people are being destroyed. That's warfare. That's not peace. But there's also spiritual lack of peace. There's warfare going on spiritually in our hearts. We fight. We fight against God. We fight against things. We're striving. We're sinning. But the Prince of Peace breaks into the world. He breaks into that world of warfare, and he brings peace. He brings a kingdom of peace. And he's ruling that kingdom, and he rules it with peace. The Prince of Peace is going to fill your mind. He's going to fill your heart. He's going to fill your life with his peace. A peace that says your sins are forgiven. You're not any longer at warfare with God. You're not any longer against God. You're no longer an orphan from God. You're at peace with God. God reconciles two warring parties in Jesus Christ, and he brings them back together. And now you're at home, and now you're at peace. You're no longer under a curse. You're no longer under condemnation. You're at peace with God. You're in friendship with God. And with Jesus, you can enjoy fellowship with God. You can enjoy this relationship with God, in which God now is your Father, your God, your caretaker. And He heals our hearts, and He begins to heal our wounds and bind them up and make us whole again. And that's what you need. That's what Isaiah is saying. That's what we need. We need a Prince of Peace. Somebody who gives you confidence for the future, too, that you're not going to lose this peace ever again. Of this peace, there shall be no end. When you enter into the kingdom of the Prince of Peace, you're never going to be at warfare with God again. You're never going to be cut off again. You're never going to be separated from Him again. It's only going to increase, in fact, Isaiah says. The Bible tells us that Messiah came and He won that peace on the cross. He put to death death on the cross. He put to death sin on the cross. He put to death the curse on the cross. When Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus said to His disciples, He came to them and He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." I give you that peace. You need peace. Jesus says, "I have peace. I'm the Prince of Peace." That's exactly what you need. Now, did you notice also exactly what Isaiah said in verse 6? "Unto us a child is born. A son is given." See, that's the light. And that light comes, and He wants to shine into your dark heart, your dark mind, your dark world. "Unto us." At Bethlehem, the angels came to the shepherds and they said, "Unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." Unto you. So when you're confronted with and you hear about this Savior, this Messiah, is He your Savior? And I want you to look as we close at verse 2 and 6 again a moment. And I want you to read it with me. I want you to look at it, and I want you to read it with me. I want you to look at verse 2, and I want you to fill in the blanks this way. "To me a child is born. To me a son is given. The government of my life will be on His shoulders." He's going to govern my life, your life. "And He is my wonderful counselor. He is my mighty God. He is my everlasting Father. He is my Prince of Peace." Why? Because we've seen a great light. We've seen this light. He's my Savior. And that's what the Bible tells you and leaves you with as it shows you this Messiah that God sent. It tells you this: believe on that light. Believe in it. Trust in it. Trust in that Jesus. That child, trust in Him. And He's going to rescue you from darkness. And He's going to deliver you from your enemy. And He's going to deliver you from your sorrow and your death. And He's going to set you free. He's going to give you life. And that's what Jesus does. So believe on Him. Hear this message. Amen. Let's pray a moment. Father in heaven, we thank You. You are a faithful God who remembered all Your promises. You are a God who has sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And we remember that He was born. That He was born so that He would be one of us to bear our sin, to fulfill all that You required of Him in perfect righteousness, to be able to die the death that we deserve, so that He might be one who rises out of that death, breaks out of it as the light of the world, and gives life to us. Lord, we rejoice in that truth. We rejoice in Your message to us. And we pray, O Lord, that we would hear that message, that it's for us. And this one who is light would become my Savior, our Savior, as we bow before Him, as we put our trust in Him. We pray that You will give us that faith. Give us that hope. Give us that peace. Give us that Father. Give us that counsel. Bring us out of our darkness, O Lord, and bring us into your everlasting light. Glorify your name in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.